The Source Podcast is brought to you by TechPont, a San Antonio company that uses cutting-edge digital technology to elevate marketing and advertising campaigns while reporting on transparent, measurable results. Their custom-built marketing strategies offer complete digital solutions and management. TechPont strives to help businesses connect with customers and effectively grow businesses. More at TechPonte.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. If you have asthma in San Antonio, then you automatically know when we're having bad air quality days, because those are the days when you're having trouble catching your breath. Maybe you wheeze or cough, but you certainly feel it. And for many, that means you miss school or you miss work that day, and those days add up. Asthma-related conditions cost the economy as well as they make life miserable for many in San Antonio. Are we doing enough to help those with asthma get treatment and help those and help remove the triggers that we have here, like air pollution, so that people can breathe easy in San Antonio? We're talking about asthma, and you can call in with your questions and comments. The number is 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. Tweet us at tprsource. Tell us about if you or someone in your family has asthma. How do y'all cope with it? What are some of the challenges? We're joined today by Dr. Mandy Svatek. She is the chair of the South Texas Asthma Coalition, associate professor of pediatrics at UT Health San Antonio. Dr. Mandy, welcome to The Source.
Thank you.
Kara Hausler is here. She's the program manager for the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District, and they have a program called SA Kids Breathe. It's an initiative for families and children with asthma. And Kenny Mendez is on the line. He's the president and CEO of the Allergy and Asthma Foundation of America. It's great to have all of y'all here today. So let me start off with Dr. Mandy Svatek. Can you tell us, like, when we say asthma, what does that actually mean? Is it a medical term that's a diagnosis, or is it an umbrella term?
Right. It's a diagnosis, a formal diagnosis. So we know that there might be some genetic factors, but also some environmental factors that both combine to cause a child or an adult to have airway inflammation, so swelling in their airways, anytime that they come in contact with something that might inflame their airways, and also can cause airway swelling and closure, so constriction of the airway. So if you were to take a paper, roll it up, and blow in and out of it, breathe nice and easy like we normally do, but for an asthmatic, you crumple that piece of paper, you try to blow in and out, you can't breathe. So children are very susceptible to environmental triggers, as well as potential things such as exercise that might exacerbate their asthma symptoms.
And it's not curable, right?
No, it is not. And a lot of people have that idea that this is a curable disease and that some grow out of it. And it's very important that we make an awareness that we don't know what individuals potentially have that potential to grow out of it, but it's important to understand that this is a lifelong disease, but it's a disease that can be controlled.
And so when someone says, I used to have asthma as a kid, but not anymore, what happened?
Right. So they might just be under better control. Their airway may not react to the same allergens that they used to react to. And they may be one of the lucky ones, but we don't know who's going to be one of the lucky
but
ones.
But as they get older, they get into the golden years, then they probably will see some respiratory things to watch out for.
Correct. This can always come back if they've had it previous as a child. There's always that potential to have it as they get older.
Kara Hausler with San Antonio Metropolitan Health District, SA Kids Breathe. Tell me about your program.
Hi. Yes. I'm very excited to be here. The city has started a new program called SA Kids Breathe. BREATHE is an acronym standing for Building Relationships, Effective Asthma Teaching in Home Environments. So we help those high-risk children between the ages of 3 to 17 by working with them, their primary care provider, and their school nurse. So we work collectively together to help address knowledge, making sure they understand how to use their meds, making sure they have an asthma action plan, a current one on hand, that they understand it, and they understand how to use the medicines, understand what triggers in the household might be making symptoms worse, and how do you address that? And then circling back and making sure the health literacy and all the environmental triggers are identified and understood.
So is there more that can be done in like someone's household if you have a child who has been diagnosed as having asthma, and you can talk to parents, give them literature, explain things to them, and you can improve the child's breathing just by explaining what needs to happen? They can take steps in the house?
Yeah, every child in every house is different, but definitely within the house there could be triggers that the parents aren't aware of that might be making the asthma worse.
Someone in the house smoking.
Smoking in the house, a dog or cat. The child might have allergies too, so that might trigger the breathing symptoms in the child. Dust mites, cockroaches, mold.
Humidity.
Humidity. Yeah.
Well, we got all those.
Strong scented cleaning solutions. So sometimes, or perfumes, so strong odors might trigger asthma problems.
So a lot to consider. So parents need to go run down that list and see what they can try to manage. Kenny Mendez is the president and CEO of the Allergy and Asthma Foundation of America. Y'all have targeted San Antonio. Y'all say that this area is not a good place to be if you're trying to breathe easy, if you have asthma.
Yeah, well, it's definitely in the top 100 of our asthma capitals report that we'll be releasing tomorrow. And when we look at the asthma capitals, we look at, you know, three different data points: emergency room visits, prevalence, and deaths. And certainly looking at those, San Antonio is in the top 100. I'd say the other thing where it ranks even higher is in our allergy capitals report, where we look at the prevalence of allergies. And there we look at pollen score, use of medicine, and then the access to certified allergists there. So San Antonio ranks even higher or worse there in terms of, the allergy capitals.
Well, it seems like, is there a connection between the allergies that we have here locally and, we get the mountain cedar, also have these mold blooms that are happening right now because we get the sun and we get the rain, That's not good for everybody, but is there really not a whole lot that can be done about that, is there? I mean, what can you do, Kenny?
Well, there are things you could do. I mean, first off, yes, allergies are a trigger for asthma. I think your two guests have talked about that. But I think there are things we could do from the policy point of view is kind of encourage public transportation. There are issues with respect to climate change and emissions that certainly legislators, and one of the things that we try and do, as you know, we're based in Washington, D.C., and we're the oldest national patient advocacy organization for asthma and allergies. We try and make people aware of what you actually can do in terms of policy issues that might affect cities across the country, and certainly improving your air quality, reducing your triggers are all part of that.
So you want to draw a sharp line, big bold line, between things like air quality and people who have to deal with breathing, asthma, breathing challenged individuals. I mean, that these things are directly related. We'll be talking more about that when we come back from this break. And Allison, hold on. We'll get you on the air right after this break. If you want to know more about, diagnosing and living with asthma, the experts are here to help. Do you have asthma? What are your symptoms? How do you manage them? What are the biggest challenges with living with asthma? We want to hear from your experiences. Number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this break. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Is breathing not so easy for you in San Antonio? The Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America singles out San Antonio as one of the worst cities for respiratory conditions. Do you deal with tough breathing days here in San Antonio? How do you cope? Call into The Source today. The number is 210-614-8980. We want to hear your stories. And Allison is on the line. Allison, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
David, thank you also for choosing this as a topic today. I'm calling because transportation plays a big role in air quality and contributing about a third of locally generated emissions on days with that unhealthy level of ozone, as I understand it. I'm with the Alamo Area MPO, and we're looking right now for public input on 28 different proposed projects that can help tackle that traffic-generated air pollution. And one of those proposals is an expansion of a pilot program by the City of San Antonio to educate parents at schools about idling during pickup and drop-off. So I'm wondering if your guests can talk about that effect at school lines and working with parents on that as an asthma trigger, and then also encourage listeners to please participate and help us at the MPO understand the types of projects that you'd be interested in seeing funding. And you can do that at our website, alamoareamp.org/CMAC, which is CMAQ, through this Friday. And thank you again.
Well, thank you, Allison, for calling in. So idling when you pick up kids at the school, Dr. Mandy, is that because you have all these kids standing around and you have all these cars just pumping out the fumes, and it's just sort of the wrong place at the wrong time?
It is the wrong place at the wrong time. And even at my child's middle school, it has to be over 100 yards. And obviously in the Texas heat, the parents, you know, make that decision to leave their cars running because they want a cool car that their child can get into, and they don't want to get overheated in the car. And so it becomes an education issue. How can we educate? Because we know that air pollution is one of the top problems that's going to cause a child's asthma or an adult's asthma to be exacerbated. And Julia Murphy out of the office, San Antonio Metro Health Office of Sustainability, has been running an anti-idling campaign to help and to assist with that. And so we're trying, even in my own community, to encourage that. And they've made significant strides in other communities to have that anti-idling campaign and have it be student-led, where students come in, they post signs, they educate their parents, they educate the community, and then those cars get turned off and the parents step out of the car and instead of sitting in a hot car so that they can avoid that air pollution that's causing these symptoms. In San Antonio, we know that we're in this non-attainment, meaning that we need to improve our air pollution. And the standards that we need to do that by are, one, talking about ride sharing, anti-idling, especially at the schools, because we have so many children with asthma in the city of San Antonio. And then also we have this discussion with the Volkswagen settlement offer, the VW settlement offer, which is offering millions of dollars for people to submit grant opportunities to talk about what we can do to help improve. And that means, do we talk about the school bus system and making them into electrical buses? These are big, hot topics that are going right now that we all need to come together and start thinking about.
We need Whataburger to make those burgers faster when you go through the drive-thru, so you don't have to idle so much.
Correct. Yes.
Well,
yes.
That's one solution. Mm-hmm. So let me go to another caller, and this is Julian. And Julian, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. Another trigger I believe that I see, I do remodeling work around San Antonio, and a lot of times once this stops raining, we're going to have a lot of people out there cutting their lawn and blowing it with commercial blowers, blowing all that dust, pollutants, and triggers into the air when they should be bagging it. And I believe that, you know, we need to find other ways, or we need to be more conscious about what we're putting, you know, into the air with these blowers, and also blowing them onto the street where the animal dander and all that dust is just getting tossed up in the air.
All right, Julian, thank you for that. Kenny Mendez, the president and CEO of the Allergy and Asthma Foundation of America, all that lawn stuff, the blowing, is that a concern?
Yeah, sure. I mean, air, again, it's outdoor and indoor air quality that's really important and can be triggers for those with asthma and allergies. So certainly blowing all that stuff around isn't helpful if you have that condition. So, you know, and plus if you're using a gas powered blower, that also sends out emissions. So, you know, it's a double whammy there.
Yeah, very noxious emissions because it's just like a two-cycle engine. It's not being treated as it would be through a sophisticated engine like in a car or something. So Kara Hausler with the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District with the SA Kids Breathe, are you working with schools to try and help them deal with that idling situation?
We're working with, as she said, the Office of Sustainability. Was it Julian Murphy? Yeah, has come and worked with the San Antonio, Texas Asthma Coalition. And then with our department, we have an air quality group within MetroHealth that is also working to address these issues.
So how do you know if your kid, it may seem obvious to some, but maybe it's not to others, that they actually have asthma or you have asthma? I mean, they say there's some people just can think, well, you know, of course you're having trouble breathing. The air is not good, you know, but then you don't really factor in that it's for some, it's harder than others. I mean, how do you identify that kid has asthma? That kid needs to be treated and he's not being treated.
Right. So I treat patients at University Hospital Health System. And anytime that we have a child that comes in for wheezing, it can be hard sometimes to differentiate, is the wheezing secondary to a virus or if the wheezing is an asthma exacerbation. And a lot of times what we do is we use our resources and we get them to a pulmonologist that can do pulmonary function testing. They can also do nitrous oxide testing, and they can formally evaluate to see, and we take into factors of how long have they been coughing at night, how long have they had daytime symptoms. So we go through symptomatology to also lead us to the diagnosis, and not just in that current symptom where they're wheezing, but this is a month prior that we're starting to ask all those questions. And if things start adding up to fit within that diagnosis, we can diagnose them or we can get the assistance from our pulmonologist with the testing, pulmonary function testing.
If you wear a mask, like these paper masks I see sometimes, will that help, you know, kids?
No, you know, they do have the mask, and you'll
like
see
a little filter mask.
Right. And there's a different sort of mask that will help keep out different sort of particles. So it depends. But the traditional mask that you see kind of in China or Japan, usually, yes, they're protecting themselves from droplet isolation that that has certain viruses that can cause them to have symptoms.
Okay, so that's not a good choice.
It can help some, but there's other factors that can cause their symptoms to.
All right, back to the phones with Maria. And Maria, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, everybody. I heard one of the guests talk about air cleaning products being harmful to asthma patients. And my daughter has asthma that's triggered by allergies. So I'm just wondering, like, if you have any suggestions for products in the home that would be better for her.
All right. Sorry to hear that, Maria. Kenny Mendez, you're the president and CEO of the Allergy and Asthma Foundation of America. What should people be looking for when they shop for products in their home if they do have someone there, a child who is dealing with asthma?
Sure. I mean, you can look for products that are certified asthma and allergy friendly. We actually have a program that does that, where there's scientific testing in terms of indoor air cleaners, paints, and other things, and you'll see the mark certified asthma and allergy friendly. So there's a scientific standard that we've tried to establish working with a number of outside labs and a partner to develop those standards.
And is there any telltale thing you say this is probably not a good idea if it's strong scented? Is it hard to identify, or do you really need to read the labels?
I think you need to read the labels, and you know, the scents are just, you know, triggers. It really depends on the person. So scenting is a tough issue. I mean, focus on things like very basic things like your bedroom and your pillowcase and your mattress. Dust mites are frequently triggers, and so putting certified asthma and allergy friendly casings on your bed sheets and your pillows are one way to help improve, you know, your living conditions, because you spend a lot of your time indoors and in your bedroom.
Okay.
And the other thing I'd say also is, in terms of pets, is not having them sleep in bed with you if you have them. You know, you can't get rid of your pets. In an ideal situation, you would, but that can be a trigger as well for asthma and allergies.
All right. So, Kara Hausler with the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District, SA Kids Breathe. Do you have any tips for parents buying cleaning supplies that could be triggers?
We have a partner here in town that works with chemical sensitivities, and they actually came up with a recipe card that we can share and we'll put on our website that goes over just making your own cleaning products. So using baking soda, washing soda, and water.
Like vinegar.
White vinegar, and you could use a little lemon juice. So they go from all-purpose cleaning sprays, glass cleaner, grease cleaner, toilet bowl cleaner, floor cleaner. So they have a variety of different recipes here.
So why do some kids are able to tolerate these triggers and other kids, they have an asthma attack? Does anyone know why? Is it just a genetic disposition, or what leads to that, Dr. Mandy?
Right. It is. It's a genetic disposition because we don't know why somebody would react to cockroach versus dust mite versus exercise. But when we do specific allergy testing, and we have wonderful allergists in our community, we've got Dr. Joe Diaz, Dr. Erica Gonzalez-Reyes, Dr. Brooks, all of them have that capability to specifically test for an allergen that they are set up. They are genetically made predisposition to react to that allergy to help try and look and to see what they can do to help them, either by getting them out of that environment, but so by making changes, or also just by, you know, there's potential that they can do, you know, immunology therapy by administering shots on a weekly basis to help and assist with them.
So when you talk to parents, and do you have to tell them, do you have cockroaches in your house? And of course, you know, people are going to be scandalized, you know, with a question like that. How do you broach these things in a sensitive manner so that you're able to talk about, hey, you need to be taking out the trash more often. You can't let all these things add up. It's a trigger. How do you get to that?
Yeah, so Dave, I am part of the SA Kids Breathe program. I'm the medical advisor, and we have a council. And what we did was, when we created this questionnaire that we were going to go and ask all these questions going in, it was important that you have to build relationships first. So you don't ask them those questions up front. Part of it is that you get in on a second visit, you build relationships. So even if I was in the clinic or on the wards taking care of these patients, I need to build those relationships first, but then ask them and let them know, educate them that we know that cockroaches can exacerbate, that dust mites can exacerbate, that having mold in your house. But you build the relationships and then you educate.
Pets sleeping in the bed with you.
Right. Right.
So how do cockroaches, what is the connection?
It's just the allergen that's released from the dander that they have that causes them to exacerbate. It gets into their nostrils, it gets into their lungs, and then it causes the inflammation and the constriction that you'll see with an asthmatic.
So I mean, if you don't see the cockroaches, I mean, how bad does it have to be for it to be causing that sort of a situation?
You should notice.
Depends on the child.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, any amount.
Because kids are kind of close to the ground. Mm-hmm. They're breathing an area where it may be stronger than you would think if you were 6 foot off the ground. All right, so we're going to asking the questions I think that people are thinking about, and it's not always comfortable. We're going to take a break. If you want to call in with your questions and comments about asthma in San Antonio, the number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We're going to be right back. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about asthma. If you or someone in your family has asthma attacks, call in. The number is 210-614-8980. How has this impacted your life? Do you think that it's a worthy investment in order that we should clean up the air in order to reduce asthma triggers that we have all around us? 210-614-8980. Robert is on the line. And Robert, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, David. How's it going this afternoon?
Going great. Go ahead.
Well, there's been a lot of technological breakthroughs with pollution-cleaning towers and smog-eating buildings. And with San Antonio's growing size and its plethora of universities, how do we be one of the trendsetting cities and get on the groundbreaking floor, implementing these things and tracking and monitoring their success rates?
All right, Robert, thank you for that call. Kenny Mendez is the president and CEO of the Allergy and Asthma Foundation of America. We've talked a lot about vehicles, but also buildings are one of the leading causes of providers of toxins and particulates and pollution in our air. But there's a revolution there as well, Kenny. What's happening?
Yeah, no. Clearly, indoor air quality is pretty key, and to the extent that you can have cleaner buildings and filters indoors, that can certainly help. And more buildings now are, there's this trend towards storing energy in buildings, so you're pulling less off the grid by using technologically advanced batteries that could actually store energy and use it, more efficiently. So I think those are some of the technological issues from a building point of view that can really help. And a lot of this information you'll find on our website. It's aafa.org in terms of some of the things that you could do, both from a policy side of things and an individual point of view.
And Dr. Mandy Svatek with the South Texas Asthma Coalition and Associate Professor of Pediatrics at UT Health San Antonio. People sometimes buy these indoor machines, air filters. Do those things work?
They do, but they're expensive. And so if I think about the population that's having the most difficulty, it's my uninsured or my lower socioeconomic population that doesn't have the ability to purchase the HEPA filters that can help and assist. And then you have to think wisely. You're using these filters, but what are you using them for? What is in that environment, whether it be at home or in the school, that's causing you to use that filter? So you have to think about those issues, and you have to think about the funding opportunities that some people don't have to assist.
Well, this program, SA Kids Breathe, is reaching out to families that may not have a lot of means in order to help their children who have asthma. So Kara Hausler with the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District, how do people get engaged with SA Kids Breathe, and what can it do for them?
Right. So you can call it. Well, so you can. We have on our website our eligibility criteria, and we're distributing information throughout our community. But on our website, which is the Metropolitan Health District, SA Kids Breathe is the asthma webpage, this asthma program. You can find out what our eligibility is, which is ages 3 to 17, living inside the city of San Antonio, with one or more of the following in the past year: a hospitalization for asthma, two or more urgent or acute or emergency visits for asthma, or two or more unscheduled treatments for asthma at school in the past week. So these are families that we want to work with the family, their doctor and the nurse, to help address this asthma in their child and help them get better control of it and learn ways to better control their asthma so that the child isn't missing school, they're healthier, happier, have a better quality of life. The parents aren't missing work or the caregivers. So we're trying to treat it as a whole system. One of the key components of our program, really unique part of this that we're really excited about, is the people doing our home visits and this connecting our community health workers. So there are individuals, we have four individuals at this time from our community that will be doing the home visits and working with the families and educating them to help teaching best practices to help the families control their child's asthma. They're supervised by a really amazing respiratory therapist with many, many years of asthma education. So it's a really great team.
Kenny Mendez, the CEO of Allergy and Asthma Foundation of America. This program that we have here in San Antonio, SA Kids Breathe, are a lot of municipalities trying to deal with this issue on that kind of level?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the things we're trying to do on a national basis. There are many programs scattered across the country and localities that do this, but scaling it and making sure it can be done on a national level is really important. For example, I'd be curious in that area how those home visits are paid for, because in some instances, Medicaid will cover that because it reduces, by getting further upstream and by cleaning the household and your environment, it reduces emergency room visits. And by having a visit also by someone, they could help you with education, how to take your medication and manage your conditions. So it can help save costs in the healthcare system and also improve outcomes for health quality for families and kids.
And you wanted to respond to that?
Yes. Yeah, this is Kara. And exactly. Right now, we're a pilot program sponsored by the City of San Antonio. So there's no cost to the family. And as we prove, as we collect the information and prove effectiveness, then we will be working with local managed care organizations to help fund this on a sustainable long-term basis.
And what are your metrics?
Exactly.
What are you looking to prove that this is effective? Are you looking for fewer asthma attacks in these children?
Yeah, the key thing for the managed care organizations will be reduced hospitalizations or emergency department visits, as those are the most costly.
And, you know, missed days of school is a big problem for kids with asthma. Do we have numbers? Do we know how bad that is? What does that cost school districts? Because when kids miss school, they get less money from the state. And so, Dr. Mandy, do you have an idea? Well, how does that add up?
Right. So, the number of missed days from school can be variable. What's happening in Texas is that we don't, even in the city of San Antonio, our school districts don't collect data on why they miss schools.
You can't ask questions.
Right. So Northeast, actually, that's the one school district that they do have data on, but a lot of the school systems don't have data on why they miss school. We know if we look at national data, they can miss, it's variable, but we know that it can be somewhere between 7 to 10, and Kenneth might have a little bit more on that data, but they're missing school days. We need to educate and figure out why they're missing these days and without that data. And so that's why we're trying to come together. Part of what the South Texas Asthma Coalition is doing is trying to join forces. And we have over 90 members, including school officials, nursing officials. So that way we can start educating and letting them know that this is important, that we need to figure out where our data is so that we can help those children that are in need.
And Kenny Mendez, do you have a big number for us? I've seen some numbers. They're incredible in the multiple billions for how much this
yeah.
is costing.
No, definitely. It's about $82 billion annually for the U.S. economy. But in terms of missed school days, and then it's not only you have missed work days because a caregiver has to stay home with a kid, it's close to $3 billion. So it's a significant amount. And the other thing is that, you know, it's asthma is the third leading cause for hospital stays in children. So, you know, this is an issue that is pretty, has a major impact on the country and the economy.
And San Antonio is a leader in the number of children that have to go have hospital stays. And what do those numbers look like, Dr. Mandy Svatek?
Right. So we're looking at, if we compare the Texas average, we're 170% above the Texas average for the number of hospitalization rates. We're kind of equal with Travis County, but well above Houston and some of the other counties that we would have expected, maybe that we would have been better than.
They've been cleaning up the air in Houston.
Right. Yeah,
you know, since they went out of attainment, they were able to, you know, focus on that.
Right, and that's what we're hoping is to do the same. And I think getting everybody together, making everybody aware in San Antonio of these problems and how we can solve them in different ways, but unifying together as a unified resource is important.
Let's go back to the phones with Jerry. Jerry, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes. I just want to say the National Air Filter Association did a study a couple of years ago on air filters, and they believe and have found out with this research that a enhanced air filter can do almost as much as a HEPA filter, and at a reduced price and pretty cost-effective. So if you want to run an air filtration system, you can use a MERV 13, a MERV 13 rated filter, and it'll be almost as good as a HEPA filter, but a whole lot cheaper. And this was work that was done by the Illinois Institute of Technology.
Okay, so Jerry, do you have a filter machine like that?
Yes.
To help you breathe?
I run it every day, 24/7, and it really has reduced the air particles and helped me control my my asthma.
So, okay, Jerry, thank you so much for calling in. So that's, he's got some experience there. And so it shows you, asthma impacts people of all ages, but we know that when we have pulmonary problems, respiratory issues, it's affecting the very young and also the very old, and people that who are very vulnerable and need care. So when we come back, we'll talk about what are some treatments that are available. What about those inhalers? What's up with those things? How available are those? How expensive are those? How long will they last? For kids who don't have insurance, you know, what are they looking at? The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We're talking about asthma on The Source today. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about asthma, particularly asthma for children, but it can impact the entire population. You know, there's no part of the population that is immune from having asthma or breathing difficulties, particularly on days like today. You know, we have a lot of allergens in the air, and it's just you never get a break here in San Antonio when it comes to it's just another bad breathing day. It's just around the corner. If you got a question or a comment, the number is 210-614-8980. So Dr. Mandy Svatek, with the chair of the South Texas Asthma Coalition, those inhalers, what's in those inhalers, and how much help are those? Is that a life-saving device?
Right. So one of them is, and then one of them isn't. One of them is a controller. And that's the most difficult thing to educate our families on, because when we write for inhalers and we give them to them, they oftentimes get confused. So if they're having symptoms and they are using their controller, they're realizing it's not going to help their symptoms and they can end up in the hospital.
So I'm already confused.
Yeah,
what do you
exactly.
mean by controller?
Right. So for an asthma exacerbation, a child is having problems, difficulty breathing, wheezing, you have albuterol, and that comes with an inhaler. But if
is that a steroid? What is that?
No, that's just it just dilates that bronchial, so that small airway to help them breathe, and it'll get in. They'll breathe it in, and it'll help and assist with their primary active problems at the time. Now, when you have a controller, if they're using their albuterol all the time because they're having symptoms all the time, we need something to help them. So that's where your steroid comes in. And that is also looks very similar to albuterol because it comes in a pump form. It just has a different name on it. And there are many different names of our controller medications. Even our albuterol, they have different names for. So you imagine when you write these scripts and you tell them the first time, it's really hard for them to realize which one they're going to use. And so that's the importance of having an asthma action plan and labeling the controllers well. And getting, again, trying to go back in and re-educate them about how we use those medications the right way. Because using and giving yourself a couple of pumps without a spacer is not going to get the med like you need to.
What do you mean a spacer?
Yeah, so a spacer is a device. And so if I take that pump, and you've probably seen people take the pump and try to breathe it in really quick, it goes to the back of their throat. It doesn't get into their lungs. It doesn't get into those small airways to provide that dilatation that we need, that expansion. And so a spacer, you put it on, it attaches. It's kind of like a water bottle where you can put one end in and then your mouth on the other end. And then you take a couple of breaths nice and easy. You give a couple, you get another pump, you take a couple of breaths nice and easy, and you actually breathe in the medicine like you need to.
So it can get into your deep part of your lungs.
Right, get it all the way to your lungs.
Kenny Mendez with the Allergy and Asthma Foundation of America. Are we able to get these treatments, these medical devices, into the hands of the people who really need it? Is this something that is expensive and out of the reach for many families?
Well, access to medication, you know, obviously is very expensive. And there are a lot of things going on in Washington right now to try and work on the prices. It's very complicated here. But, you know, again, we have advice on our website, which helps with patient assistance and information on how to navigate the insurance system to get some of these medications, because I think what the doctor just said is, number one, you really should have that asthma action plan. And the other thing that she mentioned was, understanding how to take your medication and which medications you should be taking are really critical and probably are the next most important thing after you control your home environment. And having an understanding of that can really reduce your asthma attacks. And we've got some videos on how to take the medication and how to use a spacer on our website. So I'd really encourage people to use that, aafa.org.
And Kara Hausler with the SA Kids Breathe with the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District. Is this program, is this going to be able to help people get the medication that they need?
We don't have funding to help with medication costs directly, but there are many local resources our community health workers will be connecting families to. Well, one of them and is GoodRx, so some ways to look up for what reduced costs they can afford.
A lot of the children that we're going to find that come to this program lack insurance. And so just getting them connected to an insurance company so that way the insurance company can help support that cost, because now albuterol inhaler can cost $100+ plus the controller, you add another $100+. And
so working with, if they qualify for Medicaid, if they qualify for CareLink or an FQHC, what resources are available for that family to help them?
How long will one of those things last?
Yeah, it depends on how active your symptoms are. So if you are constantly exposed to something in an environment that's going to cause you to have a reaction, and you're using your albuterol almost on a daily basis, which is sometimes what's happening to our children here, and that's why we want to help them, then that inhaler is going to last maybe a couple weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, if that. If they're controlled and they're using their medications appropriately and educated, using their asthma action plan, getting the resources that they need, then those inhalers might last a lot longer.
So what can we do to help kids who are suffering from asthma attacks what's happening here locally to try and really, and you have your program. Let's get out that number that you have, SA Kids Breathe, for people who really want to try and take advantage of that. What's the number?
Uh-huh. It's 210-207-7282.
Okay, so if you have asthma, it is a chronic condition. It's not curable, but you can live with asthma, right? Dr. Mandy?
Yes, you can, and you can live well with it, and you can live controlled. We have a lot of community members in the city of San Antonio that I have been impressed by since February of 2018 that are doing things in the community to continue to educate. The STAC, the South Texas Asthma Coalition, has an asthma summit coming up for our school nurses June 14th to educate them on how to help their children in the environment of the school system, because that's what we're finding. They're not getting that appropriate education. Our school nurses are frustrated. They don't have time. They're trying to get them the meds, but they're trying to educate the parents on the help that they need beyond what the school nurse can do. So we're working on those things so that we can reach out to the community. We can all come together, utilize all of our resources, utilize the SA Kids Breathe program for our highest risk children, especially those that are in lower socioeconomic, because our health care should be equal. Everybody should be receiving the same health care and the same care. We just need to do the right education. There's plenty of educational opportunities here in San Antonio to help them.
And Kenny Mendez at the Allergy and Asthma Foundation of America, is there concern about rollbacks that we're seeing with the EPA under the current administration removing some of the clean air law that we have in place?
Yeah, definitely. I think some of the policies in the recent couple of years have definitely impacted air quality and will impact air quality in the future. And what people have to understand is that has an immediate impact on this community, on those with asthmatics. 3,000. The other thing I'd say is 3,000 people die each year from asthma. That's 10 a day. So a lot of people don't realize that this is a life-threatening condition. And to the extent that we could prevent triggers, have better health policies, and have better patient understanding and education, we could really kind of make a dent in this.
So the current administration's EPA, they have gone on the record saying that the cost of cleaning the air under the current rules outweighs the benefits that we would see in society. Do you have a hot take on that, Kenny Mendez?
I definitely say that the health of people and kind of emergency room visits and the $82 billion a year that this disease costs the system probably is something that is not factored into their calculation, because I think when they see that and realize how much that costs in the system overall, they think differently.
And if you're a parent and you have a child who is gasping for breath, you're probably going to see that equation a little bit differently.
Yeah, absolutely. It gets down to the human level. I mean, that's what we all do on this call. You know, we see it in our communities and we see it in ourselves, in my own family, my kids, and myself.
So, and Kara Hausler with the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District, how long is this program going to be around, this SA Kids Breathe?
We're guaranteed for 2 years, and we're working to continue it beyond that.
And again, how do people get in, be able to take advantage of it?
Yes, 210-207-7282. Please give us a call.
And Dr. Mandy Svatek with the South Texas Asthma Coalition, what can we do locally to help kids, breathe easy?
All right, we need to keep communicating. We all need to come together, communicate. The Texas Department of State and Health Services has actually reached out to us and is looking at further grant opportunities. So a lot of those things that I mentioned about the grant opportunities to help air quality, the grant opportunities to get communities together, to get Medicaid on board, to help support programs like SA Kids Breathe, these are all vital. We need to be advocating for our children here and for our individuals with asthma. It's one of the top diseases across the world, and we really need to help.
And also for our elderly.
Correct.
You know, we had people who, you know, they smoked in the 1950s and 60s. They didn't know any better, and now they're paying for it. And these bad days impact them as well, and this speaks directly to them. They're fighting for every single breath. So COPD is a big issue in our community, and we need to be just aware of that.
Yes.
So, all right, I want to thank all of our guests today as we've been talking about asthma. Dr. Mandy Svatek, the chair of the South Texas Asthma Coalition, associate professor of pediatrics at UT Health San Antonio. Kara Hausler, program manager for the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District. Their program is called SA Kids Breathe. And Kenny Mendez, the president and CEO of the Allergy and Asthma Foundation of San Antonio. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thank you so much. The Allergy and Asthma Foundation of America. Thanks for tuning in.